These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's do it. I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I'm amped and pumped. I just can't stay inside the penthouse all day. I gotta get out to Sunset Boulevard and get me some of those rays.
Brady,
everybody's
lazy.
Smiling. Sunshine day.
I'm Jabro.
Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
Hey, Polly Paul.
Everybody seems so happy today.
Have another donut.
It's a sunshine day. What's up, Paul Perillo? Yesterday, Greg Bedard, the big boy, puts you on blast, calls you the biggest Patriot tool bag, vicious smackdown. Seems like we have a beat guy border war. You want to launch a salvo? You want to launch a salvo to counterattack the smack talk, Paul?
What did all 22 say?
He said that you're the biggest Patriots tool bag.
Put me on blast.
Vicious smackdown. Puts you on blast. What's up?
Oh, jeez.
Power tool, Paul.
So here's the thing. I heard about this. I heard about this little tool bag thing. And I was told, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was brought up he had to come up with a tool bag for the Patriots.
He
claimed that he couldn't pick a player or a coach.
It's a weekly question. Biggest tool bag of this week, biggest tool bag of the year, biggest tool bag Dolphin, biggest tool bag whatever. This week I just said, well, who's the biggest tool bag Patriot? And he said Perillo. That's all he said.
But he said he couldn't come up with a player or a coach.
I don't remember him saying that.
That's what I was told. That's how it was posed to me.
He went with PP.
My
Paul
question,
Perillo.
Listen, not the first, won't be the last. Okay? I've won that award many times. That's not the first. All right?
Pip, get
but
ripped.
I want to know why he couldn't come up with a player or a coach.
Absolutely vicious.
Well, who would you say?
Is he also a member of the organization? I am a member of the organization. Is he as well, and I just don't know it?
Is he
in the front office?
Who's the biggest Patriot tool bag right now?
Just say Brady. You know you want to.
No, I'll tell you who.
Tool bag Tom.
I probably shouldn't answer that question.
Right.
I have one tip of the tongue, but I really shouldn't answer that. As a member of the organization, I'm going to keep myself out of trouble.
Attaboy.
All right?
How do you feel about your
first time for that?
How do you feel? And I think Greg was teasing.
Yeah, I know he was.
How do you feel about your team right now, Paulie Paul?
I did notice Greg lost the Lincoln Sudbury sweatshirt this week, huh? After a 42-0 loss.
I think it shrunk.
How do I feel about the team? Not good. Not good. Offensively, I have some concerns. We were going over some of the stuff with the emails this morning. Same kind of things that we've been talking about. If they have one of everything, there's just so little depth on offense. And
so
I feel like when you take a guy out, it's an impact. You guys were really asking me after the Green Bay game about the trick plays. You know, was it a sign of desperation? And I said, yes, it was. Because you have to do what you need to do to win games. And I think they needed some of that help to win because without Gronk or before that without Edelman or Gordon, whoever the case may be, I don't think they have enough options.
So you think this goes back to Rob Gronkowski?
Oh, yeah. I think there's. I know that he became a luxury instead of a necessity somehow. I don't really see how that's the case. They need him playing, even if he's not playing at the same high level. You're going to tell me that there's going to be a safety in the backfield to meet James White on the first play of the game if Gronk is on the field?
I mean, it's fair.
Right? I mean,
maybe,
what I saw from Mike Vrabel on Sunday was finally a team went into the game and said, I'm not going to let James White just catch 10 passes for 100 yards.
Which is why they might have covered White otherwise. Maybe Edelman's more open. Clearly, Gronkowski being out there diverts attention and leaves guys open. I think Vrabel had it in his mind to cover 28 from the opening snap, no matter who was out there. But either way, so you think it goes back to personnel and not how they're playing or something creeping into their game.
Yeah, and now, listen, the personnel is not just Gronk. I mean, again, you're missing Shaq Mason. Sony Michel is just back. I don't think that he was quite ready to go yet either. When you start, I don't think they have a ton of depth, so when you pick away at some of that, I think it impacts what they're trying to do offensively. I don't think they've been consistent offensively all year.
It's not just personnel, though. I mean, look, and I think that's a big one. I don't mean to diminish that. You and I were talking about this yesterday, Mike. You know what I mean? Brady's not playing great either.
No.
Like, what's Brady's role in this, Paul?
No, I think he has been average most of the season, if not every game. We do, when we go over
average
our post-game
show. Average for him or average for the league?
Average for the league.
Well, both, really.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers sort of say what he is. I mean, I think he's basically, he's between 10 and 20 in virtually every major statistical category, maybe except for yards. And he's also thrown the ball more often than So I think that kind of lends you to the yards. He hasn't been great. He hasn't been great for his standards, and he has just been sort of one of the other quarterbacks. Now, we know last year he was the MVP. He played at a very high level. Did it just go from that? So, no, I think it's probably some circumstances. That's why I say the personnel around it is a big part of this. I don't think the protection was great Sunday. The running game really didn't do anything to help. And I'm not really big on the Josh Gordon, you know, volume targets. I think that he's fine in slants and plays that he can sort of use his body to help, but I don't see a lot of explosiveness there, and I don't see a guy that I want to throw the ball to 12 times.
So that lends to this next thing. Who do you blame for that? Because when Bill's asked about that after the game, he says, we don't call plays intended for one receiver.
Right.
So, you know, basically go ask Tom, meaning that that's a Brady problem, the Gordon targets, not a team problem, not a coaching problem. What do you think?
Well,
I definitely think that I think we made too much of the answer when you know, ask Tom, because that's the only position that you could, there's only one guy who knows. Like, that's true. Like, you don't call pass plays with just one guy in mind unless it's a screen pass, right? So
let me say this.
He can't answer why the ball is only going to Josh Gordon.
Okay, I understand kind of-ish, but I've seen Gostkowski miss kicks. And when Bill's asked about it, he says we need to do a lot of things better. We need to coach better. We need to play better, all three phases. I've never heard him say, go ask Steven. And that's the only guy that can answer for that. And there's individual plays where a safety's clearly beat or a corner is clearly beat, and he'll be asked about it, and he'll say, we all have to get better. And this is about coaching and offense, defense, special teams.
I mean, I get your point, and I heard you guys talking about it, I think, on Monday.
Yeah.
I think you guys were talking about that a little bit. And I do understand your point. I just think it's a little different with the quarterback specifically on a play that Bill honestly doesn't probably know what led Tom to read a defense the way he read it. Frankly, maybe he didn't always do it properly. You know, maybe the read wasn't done right. I don't know. That's the kind of stuff that it's hard to watch from the outside and say, you know, I know a lot of people made a big deal with the fourth down play, for example, when he threw to Edelman over the middle and Hogan was on the outside making a double move. In my opinion, about 20 minutes later, he was open. I mean, like, I think that's all easy to say when you're watching, you know, the all 22 again. And say, oh, wow, look, Hogan's got – he clearly had a step on Butler. He was open. But that took an awful long time to develop. And based on the way the game went, if you're Tom Brady, do you assume that you're going to have the amount of time to let that develop based on the amount of pressure that he was under during the course of the day? So I don't know. I don't know exactly what Belichick meant, but I think we put a little bit too much into the, you know, ask Tom. Like, that was another shot at Tom.
Well, I mean, I think he's putting something there on the quarterback, which – it's fair. It's just unlike him, you know, really for him to do that, I think. But putting on the quarterback is fair. Paul, I've seen this team look much better offensively with worse problems than they have now. I've seen them win championships without Rob Gronkowski. I've seen them go whole seasons and Brady win MVPs without Julian Edelman. I've seen them have offensive lines a lot worse than this. You know, some of these years, the offensive line takes half the year to, you know, for Dante to figure it out. Mm-hmm. This year, the line's been pretty good from day one.
I think they have.
You know, they were, you know, uneven there in Tennessee, but for the most part, he's had a good line. So I've seen him do a lot more with a lot less. I'll put it to you like that.
Yeah, I mean, 2006 is always, to me, the benchmark for that. I mean, I think that he was bare bones in terms of his weapons. But, you know, part of that, you might look back, that's a long time ago. He is 41 now. You know, maybe he isn't quite as equipped to do it all on his own the way he once was.
I'm just not willing to do that. To play
I didn't
that.
Say he's done. Don't.
No.
You know, anything like that.
I'm not saying he's done either, but he did it all when he was 40. Now he can't do it at 41. What changed? It ain't the 12 months. You know, I go back to all the work he put into it, which is less.
Gronk was pretty good last year.
Sure he was, but he was with a whole year without Edelman. You don't think that guy's important too?
But did you see the year that Gronk had? I mean, that was a phenomenal season that he turned in last year. I mean, to make all those incentives that he ended up having, and he was the all-pro tight end. He doesn't have the all-pro tight end right now.
Okay, so do you think that Brady's fall-off in plays just purely about things around him, or is it on him?
Purely, no. He deserves a piece of the pie, too. Again, the numbers don't lie, right? He's been pretty average. I mean, I think it's a three-game stretch now, one touchdown pass.
Yeah.
And that one touchdown, his head coach asked him who he was throwing it to. Right? That's not unfair. Right?
I mean, that's a good point.
We saw that. I mean, he has not played really well over the last, you know, month or so.
Let me just say, no one is saying he's the solution.
He's not
the problem. Of course not.
That's very well put.
He's the least of your problems. But I think we all agree he's got to be exceptional. for this team to get to where we want to go to.
That's my point.
Because they ain't going to win on defense, right? So right.
They need to score 30-plus, and in order to do that, he's going to have to play at Tom Brady, the levels that we've come to expect more often than not.
I mean,
that's asking a lot.
He didn't throw a touchdown pass at Buffalo. Buffalo. The freaking Bills. Like, of all teams.
What do you think of Buffalo, Tony?
I think they suck. I think the Bills blow. That's what I think.
Suck and blow, daily double.
But you make a good you make a good point about the touchdown pass to Gordon. Right, the coach thought it was an accident, for crying out loud.
Right? It may have been, for all we know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it did kind of look like it was in between the two. Didn't
look,
it?
I mean, I think here's to me the more important thing. I can't tell you how much of a part of the problem Brady is. But Belichick can.
Yes.
And so when Belichick says, go ask Tom, Belichick, Paul, can answer that question. He can look at it and say, well, Tom, you targeted Gordon 12 times. You tell me that 12 times you thought he was the favorable matchup? 12 times, Tom?
And Paul, you can underplay that on your time? You're on our time now.
Okay.
So we don't underplay that comment. We fully embrace that comment.
I didn't tell you had to stop overplaying it. I just said I think you made too much of it. That's all.
We'll see. Your thoughts, people, with Paul Perillo, Patriots Talk, right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Bill, is a guy like Josh Gordon getting like 12 targets and other guys like Hogan getting one? Is that the way you guys want things, or is it just how it happens?
Yeah, talked about this ad nauseum, Greg. Nothing's changed. We don't design passes to go to one guy unless it's a screen pass.
Do you think Tom was effective planning?
You'd have to ask Tom. Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom. I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom. Go ask my quarterback why he's forcing balls to Josh. I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom. Confused. I wanted both him and Gronk gone. But now I'm stuck with them, and we've got a palace queue.
A mutiny, a queue, a patriot, a coup.
Ask Tom, he's not really playing great. And the tight end acts like he just doesn't really care. Maybe we'd be better if we could use footballs with less air. Go ask Tom why he now sucks and blows. It's getting hard to ignore. His balls are floating in a most peculiar way. I miss Jimmy G every single day. He should be here, sitting on my warm lap for all the world to see.
Tremendous, Murray.
I'll tell you who shouldn't be here. Me.
Wow. That was strong. The last minute there was live.
Well done, Murray.
Holy moly. So like I said, you downplay those comments on your time. You're on Felger and Maz now.
Murray's What's great up? In concert.
What's up with Brady? Why is he hurt?
Jeff, why is he on blast?
Jeff, hold on one second. Do we think Brady could be banged up?
He downplayed that today in his press conference. He, you know, normal bumps and bruises, but you know, for this time of year, he says he feels fine.
And I believe him. Jimmy Stewart, what do you think?
I think he's got a knee injury.
Okay,
I think he injured his knee on the reception.
Based on what?
A screenshot that I saw that somebody sent me.
And then also, he came out on the next series. So
yeah, he played one more play after that. The fourth down play, incomplete, and then he was done. 7 minutes left.
Well, that doesn't explain the poor play in the game then, if it happened at the end.
Well, that's a fair point. Fair.
Like, I look at it and say, I think something's wrong. I don't think he's throwing the ball with quite the same zip. So I don't know. I keep saying elbow because something stuck in my head from the preseason about his elbow. And maybe I'm imagining
that. He sat out a week and a half.
Yeah, but it was an elbow, right?
Yeah, I thought it was back too, Paul.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I don't know why elbow stuck in my head. But to me, there's something there. The ball's not coming out with the same zip.
Yeah, I believe Jim McBride from the Globe reported that. Remember the couple of days there that he wasn't doing any throwing?
Yeah.
He reported it was a back issue.
Right. So either way, we continue. Something ain't right there with him.
Huh.
And again, I'll just say it's very simple. It's the most simple explanation for me. You put less something into something, you're going to get less out of it. I mean, it's really not hard to figure out. You put less into it, you get less out. I mean, that's the simplest, isn't it? And Brady treated the whole thing differently this year, put less into it. So why is it a surprise that he's getting less out of it? Jeff in Foxborough, go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, I'm wondering, do you get access to the All-22? And if you do, what percentage of the plays does Josh Gordon look like he's going 100% at?
Great question.
Yeah, the answer is everybody has access to the All-22. It's on, you have to pay for it, but it's on the NFL site. The Gordon question in general, to me, I think during plays, he's okay. It's sort of like around the plays that I don't always see him, you know, getting back to the huddle, getting off the field, personnel changes, things like that. I don't see a guy who's always going as hard as he can. I have been sort of surprised from the time that he's been here, how that explosive guy that I remember, and maybe it's just one of those things that it's been so long, that 2013 season, and when we saw him here in that Cleveland game, maybe I'm romanticizing how good he was and how explosive, but he doesn't look like there's any explosiveness there. I don't see it. I see a guy that still can use his frame to box out. I think he has strong hands, although we had a couple of drops on Sunday. But I don't see a guy that's, you know, going to really stress the defense consistently with double moves and explosiveness down the field. I see a guy quick slants, using his body to box out, and some of those, he'll win a jump ball for you on the sideline, things like that. He'll compete, but I haven't seen a guy that looks like that explosive player.
And so why is Brady going to him too much? I think he might feel that that's his best bailout option. In other words, here comes a guy. I ain't going to get hit. So just bloop, lob it up to Gordon. Maybe he'll come down with it because he's come down with a handful of those this year. Really nice catches. No separation.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's gone up and fought for the ball and won.
Yeah.
And so Brady says, I'm going to do that instead of hanging in here an extra second and trying to drill it into Jules and get my head taken off. I'm just going to chuck and duck and hope Gordon comes down with it.
That might be. And you're right to say that Gordon has come down with a few of those. Like there was a fourth down play in Chicago that he made a terrific play on the sideline doing just that. Kind of
landed on his face.
Yeah, kind of out jumping a guy and just making a play because he was a better athlete than the guy covering him. And I still think he has the capability of doing that. I just haven't seen enough of the explosiveness that I thought I remembered.
Okay, we have a lot of people hanging on from our Major League Baseball pace of play discussion. Things are going to happen this offseason with the owners' meetings coming up and our Celtics conversations as well. So I don't want to leave these people sitting there all day long. Steven Bilreka, go ahead on pace of play.
Pace of play. Well, they say the extra innings. I watch almost every inning of games. I'm a bed-bound handicap guy. But extra innings, first hit wins.
Okay.
First hit wins in extra innings.
First hit.
Yeah.
First hit wins.
What are we doing?
I mean, then you have to have the other team has to come up. I would just go to ties. I'd be more than happy with ties. But to me, bring out the Nets, three pitches, home run derby, let's go home. And you don't even have to wait for a home run. Whoever hits it the farthest, then we go home, honestly. Or just call it a tie. I mean, it's patently absurd to play 162 games and sit there all night. I mean, it's just dumb. It's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And even in the playoffs, we've all been through these games. You sat through 18 innings. I sat through 13 one night till 2:30 in the morning. You get to a point where you say, I actually really don't care who wins. I need this to end. And so End him. End him. Figure it out.
I'll tell you, the idea of putting a runner on second, like, why stop there? How about load him up?
Right.
Whatever it is. Like, I'm okay with any solution there. Because it's the same for both teams. See, there's too much of a concern over the rules and the purity of the game and all that other bull crap.
Purity of the game's ruining the game.
The rules are going to be the same for both teams. It's not going to affect the outcome competitively. The rules are going to be the same. So you just have to adapt to them. Like, but shorten the game. I like first and second bases loaded. Why just a guy on second?
Exactly.
Load him up. Let's go.
Load him up. Let's go. Paul, how long did you take between pitches when you were at Boston University?
I just got it and chucked it. What are you going to think?
You understand?
No, my recollection, he's a fast worker.
I mean, you understand.
Fastballs, curveballs. What else is there to do?
You get extra velocity when you hold that ball a little bit longer.
Not him.
That didn't work for me. Tony's right.
All right, here's Murray's update, and then we're right back with Paul E. Paul Perillo in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Brady spoke today. It's some interesting stuff. We'll get to that coming up.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Do you think in the past you benefited from having a young quarterback on the active roster? Wish you were in the competition.
You know, I haven't thought about that particular subject. I've always said, you know, we always have quarterbacks. At one point I was young and I had some older guys, and now I got to be the older guy and there's some young guys. So I think there's always just a healthy balance.
Question, Maz? You like that question?
Yes. Yes, I did hear the question. Do you think in the past you benefited having a young quarterback on the active roster just to either push you or bring competition?
Wow.
I didn't even see Tony at the press conference.
The answer? I haven't thought about that particular subject. Lie. Lie.
Who did you feed that to? Because that's a Tony Maz question.
That is a plant like you read about.
Yeah, I bet you Belichick planted it. Like, seriously. Because that's what that question. So the part of it that irritated me, I found the question interesting. Like, hey, Tom, geez, it's interesting. Garoppolo's gone. All of a sudden, you suck. Or
a little bit of a strong word.
So,
no,
I know. So I'm giving you that. I put that through the Felger-Mass processor.
That's the Felger-Mass processor.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a KitchenAid food processor. You put it in, something else comes out. It's what happens, Paul. We call it the Felger-Mass processor. That's what we call it. And that's how we would have asked the question, Tom. It's interesting. Garoppolo's not here anymore. Now you suck. So what happened? That's how we would have asked the question. But, he skips OTAs, doesn't show up because there's no one there to take his job. He played great for 4 years. I think I give whoever asked that question, I don't know who it was, I give him all the credit in the world for asking the question. Like, that's a way of saying, Tom, why is your play slipping?
I wish I remembered. So I was actually there. I don't remember who asked the question.
And
give him credit.
The part of it that irritates me is the response. I haven't thought about that particular subject. Oh, of course you have. Of course you have. That's why you went to the owner and complained about Garoppolo still being here last year. And that's why, and I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that.
You guys love to do it, though.
No, but Paul's not responsible for what.
No, this has nothing to do with Paul.
No,
this is, Brady understood the question. He understood it perfectly. He didn't want to go anywhere near it because he understands how sensitive he is to it.
See, I think Garoppolo absolutely pushed him in the past. I mean, that's just human nature. But I don't think that's the issue this year. I think Garoppolo could not be here, and he could still show up and put everything into it he's in the past. He just didn't. And it wasn't because of Garoppolo. I think it was because of the thing with Belichick. And also him reaching a different stage of his life where it's like, you know, I don't need to be in there first, you know, at 6 a.m. on March 1st like I have in the past. I just don't need it. And I don't agree with him. I think he does need it. I think everyone needs it. I think that's the key to that's the backbone of everything that they got going on down there is the work ethic and the day one and the parking spot and all of that. And so I think it's wrapped into the Belichick thing. And I would not be surprised one bit. Not that I want this to happen. I would not be surprised. Would anyone be surprised one bit if Bill retires after this year and Josh McDaniels the coach next year, that on day one of the offseason program, phase one, day one, hour one, minute one, Tom Brady's there? right there.
And oh, he'll be there.
He'll be there.
Okay, but let me...
And I'll tell you what.
What if Belichick is back and it's status quo?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay, but let me present the other scenario to you. If Garoppolo were still here...
Thoughts, Jim?
Would Brady have been at OTAs?
Maybe.
Yes. Yes.
Probably.
Definitely. So I think it's both.
It's both. You're right.
Cause Bill
See, I think it's Guerrero related, so I don't know. Because didn't Guerrero sort of happen after Garoppolo?
I don't know.
The Garoppolo trade happened, and then all of a sudden,
Guerrero was thrown out.
Yeah, now Guerrero's up. Because I think I kind of agree with you, Mike, in that I think it had something to do with his home life. But I think the larger point was that he was at odds with the coach. And I think he was at odds with the coach largely because of Guerrero.
It's a fair point.
Yeah, I also think that he's at odds with the coach because Bill used Garoppolo to leverage him.
Here's something I want to know. How come the offense is not as in sync? How come it's not as, well, it's just not what we're used to? And I asked this yesterday, and I'm going to keep asking until someone asks Bill or Brady. So maybe you could help me with this, Paul. Do Brady and Bill?
I'm sure I won't be asking, but
No. It's a really innocuous question.
Okay.
Do Brady and Bill still meet one-on-one every Tuesday night like they used to?
That's a fair enough
question. I mean, interesting, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. I think it is. Has that gone by the wayside? Is they've sort of grown apart a little bit? Does that no longer happen? And again, I don't know how you get better when you put in less. And does that fall under, or do they still meet? Like, do they just, you know, whatever, we're going to be professional about this and compartmentalize, and we're going to get in there on Tuesday nights one-on-one and do what we've always done, or are they not doing it anymore?
If you had to guess, do you think that still happens?
I think that they probably meet. I don't know if they have a regular, you know, meet. There was a time
it's probably
where
a game of telephone with Josh. You know, one meets with McDaniels and the other
does. I was just about to say that I think there's probably more communication with Josh than with Bill.
It used to be not even Charlie Weiss.
Mike knows because Mike used to be in on those meetings.
No, hell no. But I watched the football life with Bill Belichick. I've had Brady and Belichick tell us enough about that one-on-one Tuesday meeting. No quarterback coach, no offensive coordinator, no backups. Brady and Belichick. Tuesday night, one-on-one, at night, going over the game plan before they present it to the team the next day. Do they still do it?
I don't have the answer to that, but it is a fairly innocuous question.
I don't think you get in trouble with that one.
And to your point, in that documentary in 2009, you see that scene where he's talking to Bill, and they get finished, they wrap up all this stuff, and Tom gets up and says, I'm going to go talk to Billy O. Right?
Oh, I forgot about that line. He says, I'm going to go talk to Billy O.
I'll go talk to Billy O. And the inference that I got was this is how they formulate what they're going to do, their game plan for the week. And to your point, now the rest of the team will find out. Tom's going to go and talk to Billy O and, you know, whatever, cross the T's, dot the I's.
Do you think Bill would answer it?
I think he would go off of one of those, you know, the conversations I have between
myself
and the players
me
private.
Too. Unless they
when
actually
no one's
do.
Asking what they're
well,
actually
right, so
talking.
That tells me that they wouldn't, that they aren't meeting them.
If they're meeting, he'd say it.
Right.
He was happy to tell us that he met every week with Jimmy Garoppolo the day he traded him. Remember that?
Yes.
Even though that was sort of fudged because it really turned out that they met just as Bill would sit in on the quarterback meetings. So he met with Garoppolo and Belich and Brady and Brissett when he was there. So he met with whatever quarterbacks were in camp or on the team at the time. It wasn't one-on-one with Garoppolo. But when they traded Garoppolo, Bill came out and said, I met with them every day to make it feel like you met with him every day. What happened to Tom and the game plan? So I'm just curious about that. Like, I'm just curious if there's just some sort, you know, if the off-field stuff has just sort of seeped in on those little margins and that's sort of showing up. And there's no way to know, but I don't think it's unfair to bring it up.
Well, what time at night would that typically happen? Because, well, granted, you could say it's a bye week, but last night it's now been confirmed from the Globe and other people that saw him that him and Giselle were at Hamilton, so it didn't happen last night.
So, but it's not. It was Tuesday nights during a regular work week where the game's on Sunday and they implement the game plan on Wednesday. So this is a bye week. They're on a different schedule.
Yeah, okay. He's now seen Hamilton three times, Jim.
You couldn't do it. If you saw Brady at a Celtics game on Tuesday night and for a Sunday game, maybe you'd have a little something. I don't know what time they would meet. 5, 6, 8, 10? I don't know, but it was always portrayed as a nighttime meeting, Brady, Bill, one-on-one. They come together, they go over the game plan, then they present it to everybody else.
I love that scene. Brady says to him, how do you feel about building it a little dart here on the backside? And Brady Belichick goes, yeah, it's a good idea, and scribbles it. And I thought, there you are. They're in master control.
That's it.
There is the brain of the Patriots football operation, the two of them right there.
Now Brady's just going back and chin it up to Josh freaking Gordon. Talk about, you know, ugh. Like everything about it.
A lot of creativity in those plays.
Okay, Paul, from what I understand, has a very important meeting that he has to bail on us for, so he's done.
I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. I got a thing. I got to go see Tootie.
Oh, you got a thing.
Yeah, I got a thing. I got a thing. What do you want me to do? I got a thing.
Pauly, jumping ship.
It is bye week.
Especially after being on blast.
All right, Paul, thanks for coming in.
Right, Pip's going to skip.
Long commercial-free segment. All this Patriots stuff. We have Celtic stuff, baseball stuff, Rask stuff, whatever you want. Right back to you after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
What can we say about Felger and Mass that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
How do you feel like you guys have handled pressures of blitzes five or more coming on the rush? Because it feels like production maybe hasn't been there to the same level as it has been. In years past, another quarterback rating stat that might be flawed in some ways, but your quarterback rating against the blitz, according to one outlet, is last in the league.
Well, anytime you're last in the league in anything, that's probably not very good. Yeah, I haven't studied that as much. I mean, I think if they blitz, it gives us great opportunities to make plays. And if we're not doing that, then we got to figure out how to do it. Now, I think if you rush three or four or five, I mean, there's going to be opportunities, really, in any case. It's just what you do with the opportunities. So hopefully we can figure that out. Get out of the basement and move our way up.
So there's another Brady cut from today. Another good question. How do you feel you guys have handled pressure or blitzes? If you couldn't hear the question. Because the guy says it feels like the production hasn't been there to the same level it's been in years past. I know your quarterback rating against the blitz, according to one outlet, is last in the league. And this is, again, where Brady, like, come on, Tom. He says, well, anytime you're last in the league in anything, that's probably not very good. He just heard him say it. He says, I haven't studied it that as much. You don't know how you guys have been against the blitz?
Oh, he knows.
What are you talking about? You don't know how you've been against the blitz. What do you mean? Don't tell me you don't know. Either way, he's lying, which is fine. I don't care about that. But if you really don't know, yikes, he knows. They know.
So on the blitz, do you think that's Brady or do you think that's the receivers?
Brady.
See, I don't. I think that's the receivers.
Well, it's the same receivers.
Yeah, not all of them, though.
Gordon is, and that's the one he's going to. Gordon's the new one. He has the rest of his guys, and not Gronkowski every week. But he's had Gronkowski, he's had Edelman, he's had Hogan, he's had White. To be last in the league against the blitz, all of a sudden, this is the best quarterback in the league and the best team in the league against the blitz. You don't blitz Tom Brady. Oh, it's anything we've learned over 18 years, don't bring extra pressure. He'll see it, he'll diagnose it and pick you apart. Now all of a sudden, overnight, they're last in the league after 10 games, not 2 games, 10 games?
So I keep forgetting White in that. That's my mistake. Like, it's hard to ignore the White factor. I mean, Brady's got to be part of it.
He's had Gronkowski for 7 of the 10 games, and they're last. He's had Edelman for 6 of the 10, and they're last. He's had White for all 10, and they're last. And Hogan. So what happened to Hogan? How did he leave the circle of trust? And someone finally gave us a reason. Not a reason, but a possible conspiracy theory. And Murray, it was up to Murray to give it to us. It was brilliant. What is the Hogan thing?
Well, if you remember in the Seth Wickersham piece from last year that detailed all the ongoings of the Palace Q, we find out that in the game against the LA Chargers last year, that Chris Hogan got hurt because of a hospital ball that Tom Brady threw to him. We all kind of thought, oh, maybe that was the coaches, or maybe it was Josh McDaniels that said that to Seth Wickersham. Maybe it was Chris Hogan. Maybe Chris Hogan was the leak.
Or maybe Brady just thinks that.
Right.
Maybe Brady just
thinks
that.
He's so paranoid now and thinks that everybody's out to get him. So now he looks at Chris Hogan as the leak and says, screw you. I'm not throwing the ball to you.
Right. It doesn't matter what actually happened. It matters what Brady thinks happened. Right. And if Brady thinks that Hogan's the guy that ratted him out, maybe that's it. Or maybe he just thinks Hogan like can't get, you know, separation anymore.
And maybe he can't. But I don't know. I thought Brady threw guys open and all of that. I mean, someone who was coming on in the possession game was Philip Dorsett. I mean, he had started. He had started just to show a few little signs there. And all of a sudden, Josh Gordon gets here, and that's it. See you later. Complete non-factor.
Do you know Brady was 12 of 14 throwing a Dorsett in the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, who did someone put that in our email chain? Or where did I read that? Something like there was, someone sent me a text. It was great. I think it was actually Dakota.
I looked it up yesterday. 12 of 14 throwing a Dorsett. You know what it was? He was a completion rate. That's what he sent.
Now, hold on. This nut still sends me texts on my personal phone, Dakota. It was a big mistake. I don't know how you got it, but anyway, this is worthwhile. Dorsett has a 83% catch rate, which puts him ninth best in the NFL. He has an 83% catch rate. Top 10 in the league efficiency, Brady to Dorsett. And instead, Brady would rather go back and chuck it 20 yards down the field to, again, I can't say anything without making a face. Josh Gordon.
25 out of 30, Brady to Dorsett.
So what, like any other year, I don't know. It just feels like, why would they go away from that? If anything, this team would pick that apart until you prove you can stop it.
And in fact, in the last two games, 5 for 5. And remember that in the Green Bay game, he had that big play on, was it 3rd and 13, 3rd and 14, whatever it was. Remember that?
Yes.
That was one of the biggest plays of the game, was Dorsett.
James White, 74%, which is 45th in the league. Edelman, 71%. Gronk, 67%. Hogan, 65%. Stop me when you get to Josh Gordon. Oh, here he is. Gordon, 53%. 53%.
Goes against everything they believe in offensively, really, if we're focusing on that part of it. Like, they believe in efficiency. 70%, you know, even in the current league where a lot of guys are up in that area, 70% is still pretty damn good.
Okay, Phil and Rivera, what do you got for us on the Patriots?
What's going on, Mike? Listen, the first thing I wanted to say was, on your betting on games, you betted on the preseason game, and you had us. And I gave you a gimme with the Kansas City game. I told you it was going to be over 70, and it was over 80. But to get back to the Patriots, like, this is the worst defense you've seen under Bill Belichick. You can't coach these guys up.
I don't agree. No? This is the worst, Phil. I think they've had a pretty mediocre defense here for 3-4 years.
It's been mediocre, but this is the worst it's been since Bill's been here.
I don't agree. Phil, I don't agree. I think they had a worse defense in 2011. I think they had worse defenses until they got that Revis year in 2014. I think there was.
But they still had men here that could produce. You don't have any guys here that can produce anymore. I mean, who's out there? Who do you see out there other than Flowers that can really make a. No one.
All right, so look, we can debate which is the worst. We can all agree it's bad. But yeah. I think, Phil, though, but that's status quo.
2011 was bad.
Oh, God.
Sterling Moore playing corner.
Earthwind, Moreland, and Julian Edelman in slot corner in the AFC Championship game. Like, woof.
No, that was bad.
Woof. And they still got through with that.
Just a secondary alone on this team makes that better.
But so whether it's better or worse, it's not good. So the status is quo. It wasn't good last year when you went to the Super Bowl. It wasn't good the year before when you won the Super Bowl. This we know. This is no different. It's the offense now. It's the offense that you can't. They scored 10 points. Brady has one touchdown pass in his last three games. This is where the focus is and where it should be. I mean, if you want to just dial it all the way back and start from scratch and say, why is your defense so bad for so long? Fine, we can have that conversation. But the defense is what it is. The team is constructed for Brady to overcome that, and they're not anymore.
In the past, their offense was able to cover up, and now it can't. Look,
I won't say it can't. It's just not.
Well, okay, so that's more accurate.
Let's see what happens going forward.
They haven't been able to of late.
10 points? I mean, did they score one or two touchdowns in Buffalo?
One.
One touchdown in Buffalo?
One offensive touchdown, right? Because McCourty had an interception return.
Tom, not being able to say a word without making a face. Buffalo. One touchdown in Buffalo. Pip had a good line. Brady's thrown one touchdown pass in three games, and the one touchdown he threw, Belichick had to go over to him and ask who he was throwing to.
It's true. He thought he was throwing to the wrong guy.
Unbelievable. All right. So we've got this. I promise. Back to the Celtics and pace of play stuff with your calls right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.